This is a really, really good episode of the podcast. You guys can really get a lot out of this. You have to listen to the entire thing. The ending is really, really, really important. You're not going to get the full effect of the ending unless you listen to the entire thing all the way through.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Your weekly look inside Iowa State, the sports scene, pop culture, and...
You know what? Forget this. When's the last time these guys ever stayed on topic?
About anything. The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse Real Estate is real estate redefined. Learn more about Charterhouse Real Estate on the forums of Cyclone Fanatic or charterhouseiowa.com.
It's a new beginning.
And now, hello. Please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams.
Are you not aware that I get farty and bloated with a foamy latte?
My mistake, Jacobin.
Your mistake indeed.
Mark Charter.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. A always B B C closing. Always be closing.
And Adam Gratum.
There is one person in every group of friends that nobody f***ing likes.
Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome to a new podcast here at Cyclone Fanatic. It's the Charter House. Thanks for the t-shirt, Charter.
You
appreciate
bet, man.
It.
I heard you wore it.
I wore it to the farmer's market last week. I got you some free advertising down there.
Does Gray have one yet?
I have not received one.
Well, you were here last week. We just got them last week.
Oh, okay. So
they're
in the other room. You can have one. Gray is here fresh off from escaping from The Rock.
The Rock, yeah.
I want to hear about
it. I've got a bone to pick with you on your vacation.
Oh, okay.
I was just telling Charter about it because he goes, how was Gray's vacation? And you went where?
I went to the Bay Area.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, it was really expensive. I mean, what the hell were you expecting, man, at Napa Valley?
I wasn't complaining. I'm just saying it was really expensive. I was expecting it to be.
Did you go to the Catalina Wine Mixer when you were out there?
The effing Catalina Wine Mixer. Yes, I did.
Dude.
Oh, man.
I can't hear that without thinking of that Catalina's brother, the guy on Twitter.
You know, the kid Tyler Catalina. Yeah.
Tyler Catalina's brother.
He follows his own name. I see he tweeted at you.
Yeah, he did. He searched his own name.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
No, I've not.
I haven't either. No.
I don't.
Search
I don't
your own
really,
name?
I don't really care to. That seems like something Charter's.
I don't even really know how to do that. I'm not Twitter savvy. I'm really not. I wish I was. Like, sometimes I, like, hear a story going through and I search just to see what people are saying about this other store and I can't find it. I don't know. I'm doing it wrong.
Huh.
Yeah, I've never been accused of being an internet whiz. Never will be. So you went. I don't care about the wine. I don't even like wine, so whatever. Let's skip that part.
That was my favorite part.
Let's skip that part. Okay. I want to hear about The Rock, Alcatraz.
I did go to Alcatraz,
yeah.
That's interesting.
I thought it was cool. So they we didn't do the guided tour. We did the self-guided. You put headphones on.
Yeah.
You push play right when it tells you to.
Yeah.
And then basically it directs you through Alcatraz.
Okay.
And tells you stories, and it's got ex-prisoners telling their story when they live there. And,
yeah. Did you see any
fascinating
ghosts?
There's no such thing as ghosts. I heard you on the radio. You're an embarrassment to the Cyclone Fanatic when you talk like this.
I've actually got a paranormal investigator coming on next week.
Do you?
Yeah, it's going to be insane.
I'll make sure to miss that.
They're so real.
So what's the highlight of the tour at Alcatraz? Does it feel weird being there because it's such a famous place?
Did anything reach out and touch your leg?
Nothing reached out and touched my leg. Jeez, are you going to let me talk or are you just going to
throw? I'm convinced they're ghosts there, especially at Alcatraz, but go ahead.
You know, it's just so, I think it would play mental games with you if you're a prisoner because you look just across the bay there. It's like a mile and you see the whole city.
Yeah.
And you see everyone living out there.
Freedom.
And you're sitting there and you're like, I'll never get there or I'm not going to get there as long as I'm serving this sentence here. I mean, I think that would torture you to a certain extent. I thought that was fascinating. Jail. I guess I haven't really actually walked through too many jails before in my life, but I don't know. I just thought the history of it, the stories and how they presented everything, I thought it was really well done. I liked it.
So I've seen the movie Escape from Alcatraz, which I believe was based on real events, because they said no one escaped from there. I think people did.
They did. They just don't know if they ever lived.
So the as you're standing there on the island, and I'm a horrible swimmer, so this would not apply to me, but if you were a good swimmer and a prisoner, would you think you could make it based on the distance?
They say that the current there is really strong. The temperatures of the water is obviously pretty cold being in the Bay Area. So
sharks?
Sharks like it where it's warm.
Yeah, I've look
heard
at
sharks, but
distance-wise, I think I could make it, but I guess I wouldn't know with the current. You know, that's the big one there. But Sean Connery did it, you know. So
he was a special man.
He was.
Well, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, guys.
We had a most listened to podcast in history last week.
We got some good comments on that one.
Without even laughing,
We had some people that said that was the best ever, and some people that said it was the worst ever.
Wow, based on shocking
their personal taste.
That usually means you guys did something good.
Shocking that there was a polarizing response.
I need to go back and listen to it
real quick. How many spots do you have left in the golf tournament?
Well, we can have up to 36 groups. I think we have about 26 right now.
Oh, okay.
So we got over 100 people golfing in the golf tournament. So, but we can, I mean,
there's room for me still. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I got the confirmation today. A couple of football coaches will be there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you allowed to say that?
No, I can't say who. But,
okay.
I mean, it's Matt Campbell won't be there.
He won't?
No.
Why not?
I
thought you had some pull.
Some guys from the staff will be down.
Nice.
They're on my team.
Are they? Are they sticks?
Bloom and I, let's just say like...
Wait, how about we kick Bloom to the side? I'll join the team.
No, Bloom's my part. He's way better than you.
No, he's not.
You've never beaten him.
Yes, I did. Last time I played him.
I beat him
last time I played him.
I don't believe
that. You're high.
I've played golf with you and Bloom probably 20 times together.
No, you haven't. I haven't even played with you 10 times in my life.
20 times.
Stop it.
You're...
Can I get Jamie Pollard on my team? I'd like to. It's been fun.
I would love to...
We should have a
I would love to have a Jamie Pollard just be a fly on his office wall right now. Be awesome.
Because of the Big 12 realignment?
Yeah, just to see what's going on.
I've told you this. I don't pay attention to it at all. Let me know when it's finalizing.
Just go ahead and, cover up your eyes. Act like nothing's happening.
No, I'm not acting like nothing's happening. How many different rumors have there been out there of different scenarios that have gone back and forth, just like last time? And what percentage is actually going to happen? 1%? Yeah. Let me know when it's over.
When will anything happen officially? A couple years? Or
no, it'll be a couple months.
Really?
Yeah.
So, but well, when would they actually be a member?
When I'm down in Dallas for the media days, we'll know.
Who's your pick? Two teams, I assume?
Personally, I think that if the Big 12 is going to live, like if there's actually going to be a league, then they're going to have to do something more than just, let's add Central Florida.
Yeah, I don't get that team at all.
Well, I mean,
it's the biggest university, isn't it, in
Florida? Yeah, they have like 60,000 students. I get it. And you get the Florida recruiting ties and the television. I get all of that, but it's like the Big 12 is so far behind that they're going to have to do something bold. Like, it's not a deal where you can just, Cincinnati and Colorado State are going to save the league. Like, I'm sorry.
There's no poll there.
I'm just, maybe it's being pessimistic, but I don't buy it.
They're going after Notre Dame people.
I think that it'll be, if they do anything, I truly think it will be like they get a couple of Pac-12 schools or ACC schools and the league really grows.
They poach. You think they're doing that?
But it'll be really hard to do because of the grant of rights and everything. So it's fascinating. I don't know. They're going to need to do something to get a renegotiated television contract at the end of the day, because they're going to be like $40 million or $20 million behind the other, the Big Ten and the SEC if they don't.
If they were going to poach, though, wouldn't the easiest team to be from a power conference, wouldn't the easiest team to be Colorado? Get them back.
Dude, I told you about the guy in the cab at Kansas City, didn't I?
I don't think so. You have a source in the cab?
This is ridiculous, but this did happen. I tweeted it just like it to mocking it. But when I was down at the Big 12 tournament, it was I stayed. My wife and Cameron came down, and we kind of just hung out there for the weekend. And this cab driver was asking me what I'd do, and we were in traffic because there was a Trump rally going on, believe it or not, and there was all this violence, and it was wild.
Rally for a future president.
So I was in traffic for a long time with this guy, and he starts telling me, he's like, I've been driving all these Big 12 people around all week, and they keep talking about Colorado coming back to the league.
Oh, really?
Now, granted, this is a Kansas City cabbie, okay, so I'm not taking this.
You weren't sourced in on
this
one.
No, I was not sourced in on that.
Okay.
No, but I think it will be something like that. I think Utah makes sense. I've heard Utah a lot.
Yeah.
And the ACC is a disaster right now. People don't – and they don't – their whole – my whole thing is why you could get an ACC team is because – this is kind of geeking out here. But the whole grant of rights thing, the television media rights, their ACC network never came to fruition, so they are not, like, locked in on anything. supposedly. So it'll be interesting couple months.
I like how this is the talk of the day, but 20 years from now, it's all irrelevant. It's all changed. It's all, you know, we don't have the networks we have today. Yeah, we don't
it's
have
It's all going to be rolled into one giant deal. And the NCAA might cease to exist when it comes to college football.
That's the thing that I never understood until like Mark Cuban started talking about it. You always thought that the NCAA was necessary. It's not. I mean, college football, college basketball could exist without it. If some rich person wanted to start their own league and pull these schools into it, they could do it.
You can do it?
Yeah, just a little couple dollars.
But
somebody like a Mark Cuban, the like sports, would be the guy to do that if he wanted to.
Yeah.
You know, if you get the right schools to start it off, then others would go, especially if they lost this BS of their amateurs and we can't pay them a dime or whatever. That I think that's going to go away as well.
My conspiracy theory is that all these television contracts and the Big Ten just signed, or is going to sign their new one, they're all ending like within a year of each other. My theory is that they've all like they're all in cahoots and they're going to leave the NCAA at that time.
It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't shock me at all.
Well, they make more money.
Not have to have the stupid rules that bog them down. I mean, yes, part of the NCAA is probably good when you talk about the fact that you have to get certain grades or whatever to be eligible.
Yeah.
If you eliminated that part of it, you could basically not even care about if they went to class or not.
Yeah.
Be completely independent of that, which would, again, make it a world different than it is today. But
I also had a source,
things will change.
Pretty good source, reach out to me and say that he thinks that this is all going to be pretty anticlimactic at the end.
Well, if that's the case, then you're talking about
I think the Big 12 will die if it's anticlimactic. Not maybe not now, but it, by
in the
like
near future.
2022, something like that.
But you would say that, but as long as you've got your Texas and your Oklahoma, it's hard to imagine that happening.
I think they'll leave.
For SEC?
Big Ten, SEC.
It's hard to see them in the Big Ten. SEC, I can see.
I don't think Oklahoma because of their academics, but Texas and the Big Ten makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because they could actually win that league. Like, if I'm Texas, I don't want to go to the SEC. I'm getting my ass kicked in the Big 12.
Well, yeah, if your goal is to simply win your conference every year so you have a chance to be in the Final Four, then don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
That's where the real money is. Whatever. It's May. We're talking about football. So,
yeah, that's the glory of it.
Speaking of sports in general, Gray, did you watch the Tim Floyd
interview? Yeah. Now, answer this. Did he throw that press conference himself just to go after this guy, essentially?
I think they set him up myself, but
you think Tim set
Well, I don't Floyd's know. I don't know if they threw it specifically for this guy, but they had like that 17-page information packet on transfers, so they clearly knew what they were doing.
So it's kind of like when Pollard did the same thing with McDermott and saying how this is the culture and there's 500 guys type.
Fairly similar.
Pollard didn't really then go after a media member.
I think this was a lot more deliberate.
Yeah. Well, he kept pulling sheets out of his pocket like he had cargo pants on, just pulling them out from everywhere.
He was prepared.
Yeah.
There's no question about it, but it.
I think Floyd's a buffoon, but that's just me.
Well, he had a lot
I'm glad to hear you say
points.
That. I kind of thought you'd go opposite on that, but I agree with you.
He had a lot of good points. He knew what he wanted to say that day. Yeah. He wasn't stumbling. I mean, he knew every name that he wanted to bring up.
Yep.
He was prepared, but it never looks good when a person in a position of power is bullying someone that's not. And you could say the member of the press has some power, and they certainly do. But you got a Tim Floyd. He's a well-known name, well-paid, head coach, all of this.
Yeah.
Going after a quote-unquote lowly journalist, and that's a bad look every single time.
My thing is, like, he just looked like a crotchety old man.
Yeah.
Trying to survive in a new – Tim Floyd's hasn't gone to an NCAA tournament in 6 years at UTEP. Like if he's the most
overrated coach I've ever.
If he's
known
going
in my
to
life.
Tournaments and stuff, then that's one thing. But like he threw out Iowa State had four players transfer. Like you know he said Iowa
but
State.
Who are the four players?
I don't even know.
I mean, is he going back and taking Nick Nuskowski?
Maybe he probably did.
And then is he taking Jordan Ashton, pretty much a walk-on? I mean,
anybody that was there and left, I'm sure, for the purposes of his argument.
Nuskowiak, I don't think
he transferred like a year ago.
He was never on campus either, I don't think.
He was for like...
Yeah, but he wasn't enrolled in the fall semester, and that's how it goes.
Yeah.
It goes by the semesters. But regardless, like, yeah, okay, throw Iowa State out there, Tim, but they've gone to five straight NCAA tournaments. You haven't done anything.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, I think he could actually look fairly good if he attacked this guy, and then when the guy said, people here are not happy with you going to the NIT and not going to tournaments, and he goes, you know what? Neither am I. And I, you know, and like, if he shared a little bit of this frustration, but instead it was just excuses. And what I loved about it is I could have taken transfers. I could have taken grad transfers. I could have taken JUCO guys, but we decided not to do it. Since when, Tim? You took Calvin Cato was from New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
Where'd Dedrick Willoughby come from? He picked up JUCO guys all the time.
Tim Floyd is the reason, like, a lot of the transfer culture is what it is today. He started it.
I chose to do it the right way. Since when? Like, I don't get it at all.
I hate that, like, the right way crap.
Oh, jeez.
How about you just win games?
When did he fall from such grace that he's at UTIP anyway?
Well, he like, cheated when, at...
he cheated so
cheated
much.
At USC.
Is that why you'd hate him, Gray? Because you...
No, I just... I think...
You're definitely anti-cheating.
I think of him a lot like I do. I don't want to throw anyone else under the bus, but I just think he's overrated. I've always thought, even when he left Iowa State and went to the Bowl, I've always thought he's an overrated coach. I never understood why people thought Tim Floyd was this great guru of a basketball coach. Look at his results. His results are not very good. I think he's made one Sweet 16, maybe two in his whole life.
He was good at Iowa State. I mean, it sounded like he wasn't good.
He blew a 16-point lead to UCLA in the Sweet 16 when I was down at, but...
Oh, man. Somebody's
still hurts, doesn't it?
Somebody's holding on to some
childhood memories.
Jeez, let it all pour out, man.
Gray is like a tear coming out of his left eye.
I mean,
right, he
wasn't like a Wayne Morgan bad coach, but he wasn't this great guru that everyone else makes him out to be. I think he's somewhere in the middle. He's an adequate basketball coach. How about that?
My deal on that thing yesterday, it was so stupid because those two guys are never going to see eye to eye on that. Like, they have totally different jobs. Well, Floyd's never going to understand what that guy does. That guy is like it's not his job to protect and coddle Tim Floyd.
I'm guessing that guy is a shock. Probably. And we know what those kind of people are like. You just take them for what they are and just ignore them.
Yeah. Well, the funniest part to me, and I'm clearly a little biased on this topic, but Floyd was like, I don't even ever listen to your show. Well, you sure seem to know a hell of a lot about it, Tim.
Yeah.
And then the part where his argument fell a little bit shy was he said, I heard, you know, you don't listen to the show. And they said, I heard you were saying bad stuff about whatever. And Tim Floyd says, you know, someone told me. And the guy says, do you believe everything you hear? And he's like, yeah, except from you, which was kind of funny, actually. But, so he's going off on this guy based on someone else saying what he said on the show. I mean, at a minimum, you should go dig up the archives to see what the guy said yourself on the show if you're going to try to publicly embarrass him like that. And that's what he was trying to do.
They're probably both right. I'm guessing some of the stuff that the guy said was probably right.
I agree with you.
And Tim was trying to shelter it. And he's, you know, you have media people that you feed information to try to make your university and your basketball program look better. But then the guy probably took a couple rumors and pushed him too far and pushed him over the edge on that. But
how's a reporter supposed to report exact fact if the people that would know, who's the coaching staff, aren't corresponding with them? I mean, you got to run with what you've got, right? And sometimes you run it as an opinion, but it sounds like he's like, you know, you don't even know this wasn't a scholarship player, this was something else, and blah blah blah. Well, those are all details that you wouldn't really know unless someone in the program is saying this is what's happening here. Mm-hmm. So on a radio program, if you got a lot of hours a week to fill, like Chris does, I mean, you can't run with only fact all the time.
You got to start making up some stuff, buddy.
That's what's annoying though, like from that guy's perspective, and I have no idea who this guy is and what his relationship is, but like if you, for his point in that whole deal yesterday was, you know, we've tried to get information and you guys basically ignore us.
Yeah.
And if that's true, like, and I have no idea, maybe it's not, that's really frustrating when you try and do that.
Yeah.
And because, like, there should be a working relationship there. Even if you hate the media, like, you need to use them.
Well, and at a school like UTEP, that's not a big basketball school. It's probably a little bit different getting a hold of him than it is Coach K at Duke or something.
Well, and if you think about it, too, Tim Floyd's what, mid-60s probably? Right?
Yeah, in that ballpark.
That's the problem. Tim Floyd thinks he's Coach K.
Well,
that's a big, and he's in Utah. It's a bad, like, Ben Jacobson's perfect for Cedar Falls because he has no ego. If you would throw Tim Floyd in Cedar Falls and he starts acting like that, like, that's basically what you're dealing with down there.
Well, and Tim Floyd's been in an era now where early on in his career, I'm sure, the media, they would only give out information that he wanted him to.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's a lot different with social media and radio. And see, that's where Campbell, his staff, really gets it, right? They mm-hmm. know how to use the media to get out a positive message. Paul Rhodes, being a little bit older, didn't quite understand that quite as well. Tim Floyd's like that probably to even more of an extreme because he was at it at a high level.
But Paul Rhodes is a nice guy. I don't think you can say that about Tim Floyd.
But Floyd expects it to be how it was 30, 40 years ago when he first got into coaching. It's not, Tim. It's different.
If I'm a recruit watching that yesterday, like, do I want to go and play for Tim Floyd?
Well, if you're a recruit, do you want to go to a stack full of cash?
You want to go to UTEP anyway. I mean, that's really the bigger
question.
You
don't want to go to El Paso?
No.
I don't think El Paso would be that bad. I think it'd be nice.
That's your kind of country right there.
It reminds me of a Brooks and Dunn song. I feel like I just, you know, a little tumbleweed.
I picture Dusty Rhodes and George Strait on the radio in the pickup truck.
I feel like I'm at a ranch. You know, it's nice and humble, and I've got Brooks and Dunn playing their guitars out on the back porch. Like, it seems like a perfect idea for me.
El Paso, Spanish for the Paso.
You got a little horse just running in the background. Like, that's kind of where I kind of want to move there.
They did a survey last week, too, of high school recruits, what they're looking for when they go to school, and that was actually number one thing. They want some Brooks and Dunn, some country.
Tumbleweed.
Yeah, so I think you're right. I think El Paso is a perfect place for 17-year-olds to go.
Chris, I think we should get some feedback from people because we probably will on the forum or via Twitter.
They're all going to support Tim Floyd.
Well, not on that.
I'm going to get killed for my take on Tim Floyd.
I'm changing subjects without a segue. Before we started, you had an idea for an upcoming podcast. I want to see Gray's take on
this. Oh, yeah. I think this is a no-brainer.
Yeah. I say this as Sarah walks by.
Don't be scared.
Oh. Uh-oh. So, yeah, tell the idea.
I think that we need to get Mark's wife, Katie, Sarah, and Amy, who work here at Charter House, and have a female-only podcast.
That could be nice. Do we give them topics, or do we just let them go?
Chris says just to let them go.
Here's the deal. Katie's really what it's going to come down to, because she's really up on the Iowa State stuff. It's got to have a little bit of an Iowa State. I mean, they don't need to talk clones for 50 minutes every week. I'm not saying that. But, like, my whole deal is it's got to be somewhat tied to our website.
Now, are you saying this is a one and done? Are you saying, like, this should do it more than
that? You know, they get one chance, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah,
you know,
I think that we just kind of go from
there. I don't see it ending well. But, you know, hey, for one.
We need to reach out to our female listeners a little bit.
I think that the idea of doing one where they can just kind of talk about what girls talk about would be interesting.
Girl talk.
You know? Let's get inside that perspective.
I would
Gilmore Girls and you're good. I don't know.
I would very willingly give them a couple of topics every week too, like one sports related and then one like, you know, what's sexy to you guys when how he dresses. Like, let them go.
Who are the best looking male athletes?
Yeah,
I just let them talk. Go.
Yeah, I think you go there. Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it has, like, if they want to talk about, like Sarah knows a lot about MMA, then let them talk about
Sarah does know a lot about that.
Yeah, so, like, I think that it can just kind of be whatever they want it to be. I think it'd be fun.
Okay. Well, I think that it's got potential.
Yeah.
It's got potential.
I don't think we have to go, like, completely, like, oh, they're girls, so they have to talk about hot guys and, like, you know, sit around in their underwear and have a pillow fight. We don't need to go that route. But, I mean, if they want to do that and if it evolves into that, then that'd be great.
I don't know.
I'm wondering why Sarah's still here. She's supposed to be meeting someone at 11. It's 11.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Sure it is.
All right.
She just told you, Charter.
Go make us some money. Thank you. All right. She's out.
I think we need to make this happen.
I think it could be arranged.
May as well try it in the off season.
My wife's mad at me that she's never been on this to begin with, so.
Yes, she has.
Yes, she has.
Gray had the diarrhea down at Kansas
City. I never had diarrhea.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah. Yeah. That was like a last-minute fill-in.
Gray couldn't get off the pot. And
not true.
There.
Not true.
Not a planned one. He had the Kansas City Dukes.
I was beating Bloomin' Golf.
He had too much Bush Light and barbecue the night before.
It wasn't that you were out playing golf. It's that, like, 20 minutes before we started, you're like, acting like you're going to be on it. And the whole time you knew you weren't going to be on it. You're such a liar. You knew you're on the course.
There's so many not.
You're the ultimate. You're the ultimate troll, by the way.
Thank you.
You are.
What did he do to troll you?
He trolls, like, dude, our text messages.
Oh yeah.
Just that we're constantly going back and forth. Every time he trolls, constantly.
Only you though.
Constantly.
Only
you are an argumentative son of a bitch, though.
I've really toned it down over the years.
You have actually.
Yeah, I've toned it down.
I will give you credit for that.
I used to be.
We got a bunch of Cubs fans on this text group that we got going back and forth.
It's so annoying. So we're Cubs fans. They're insufferable right now.
So we're celebrating each win, and Gray's quick to point out it's only May, and you know, it's
so. What's funny about Cubs fans?
It rains on the parade.
It started like 3 weeks ago, I was saying to Nate Toit from the Iowa Cubs, I'm like, hey, you know, the Braves are so bad. Can I just jump on your bandwagon for 1 year and just enjoy the ride? And he's like, yeah. But now, like, the more the Cubs are winning, like, I don't want to be on that wagon. Like, I'm actually rooting for the Cardinals now.
No. No, shut up. Okay. Shut up.
Come on. They've won plenty.
I want to see the Cubs win, but I wish there's like a mute button.
Yeah,
Cubs fans.
I'm the same way.
It's going to be a long year. Although they've lost two in a row for the first time this year.
So. Time to panic.
That's what I was saying in the text. I said, season's over. You know.
And I responded and said, May 11th.
And I did the opposite. The Braves won their, I think, second game at home last night.
Man, yeah. They're bad. And the Braves are horrible.
Oh, it's the worst team in baseball. It's not, I think actually the Twins have a worse record.
No, Braves, maybe one game. They're tied. They might be tied now.
This is how, like, out of it I am.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that they're in Kansas City this weekend. If I would have known that like 3 years ago, like I would have taken like a whole week off and like planned this whole extravagant deal. Like I didn't even know they're in town.
How many players do you know on their team right now? Three? Yeah. Four?
I know a bunch of the pitchers, but.
I mean, hitters I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I probably know four of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all guys who are expendable. Like all their players are in the minors.
I grew up.
Freddie's the only one who's going to be there in a couple of years. I mean, Jace Peterson, too,
I guess. It's weird to see the Braves so bad after seeing them so good. I mean, I grew up during Smoltz, Glavin.
Yeah. Avery. Kent Merker.
Avery.
All those big guys. Big trade for Denny Nagel.
All those guys.
Remember before John Rocker was known as a racist, how cool he was? Like, he'd sprint out there when he'd come out of the bullpen, and then he was.
Is he the one that they, like, threw batteries at Shea Stadium?
He made all those, like, homophobic slurs and stuff. It was nasty. Like,
that was that. Can you imagine him doing it now?
He's a bad dude.
Pre-Twitter and all that stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Mark Wohlers. Remember how great Mark Wohlers was? And then they brought Smoltz back as a closer. Oh, my gosh.
He was unhittable.
Sorry, I am getting an erection. I have to quit talking about this.
The tomahawk chop. Miss those.
How many times in your life do you think you said that you're getting an erection?
Happens a lot.
More than daddy like or less than daddy like?
Daddy gets them a lot.
I've talked to so many girls that are like, it's so creepy when he says that. And then I do it too. I'm like, daddy like, you know? It's all good.
Quick takes on the Emmanuel Malou situation. Anybody got him?
My take is.
Doesn't surprise
me. My take
at all.
This project was effed from Jump Street. That's my take. Because
I think
it never felt like it was going to happen to me.
I think the goal the whole time was. Like, this is an elite type player. This is a really good player, and we can roll the dice and give it a shot. That's what you got to do with these guys. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. At least they tried.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually it doesn't work out for Iowa State when they go try for those guys. I think of Webster Patrick in football.
Yeah.
Same kind of deal. But I feel bad for the kid. I mean, here's a kid that's been pretty much taken advantage of by some bad people early on that really kind of screwed him over. But hopefully it works out for him. And I don't know what his path is going to be. I mean, he's not going to get drafted right now just because no one's seen him play.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully maybe he makes the D-League.
My guess is he's in the D-League next
year.
He
can make an impact there and all of a sudden slowly make his way to the NBA. And I'll be cheering for him. And
it's a sad deal.
It is a sad deal.
Why declare for the draft if you won't get drafted? Because at this point, you kind of know if you're going to get drafted
or not. If you don't declare, you can't play in the D-League.
At all.
Yeah.
Really?
Which you have to, that's one of the rules. Like, if you don't declare, that's why he declared in the first place.
So Boo Boo declared for the NBA draft?
I believe so. Well, Boo Boo was out of eligibility.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's the difference there. Like, if you're an underclassman and you have to do it, I think that's the difference. It's a sad deal.
How much does it hurt Iowa State for next year?
I mean, it hurts. You can't say it doesn't, but
we don't know is the thing.
Yeah, you have no idea how that kid was. The one thing they would have had problems with him, I can tell you this right now, is he thinks he's a
point guard.
Yeah, he's one of those guys.
Yeah.
Which they need him to be a post. Now, having said that, I mean, I'd rather have him than not, obviously. Yeah. But that would have been an issue because they've got enough guards. They've got enough guys who can score. That's why I like this Holden kid from Louisiana Tech.
I think he's going to be better than people think.
I think Bowie will be, too, from Northern Illinois.
Is he a starter or off the bench?
Yeah, one of those two will probably play the five. I would guess Holden will be the guy, though.
He's a little bigger.
Yeah, that would be my guess.
I always hate it when, maybe I'm just used to the old days and people scored a lot more, but we get these recruits, this guy from Louisiana, and it's like, this guy's going to be great or whatever, and then you look at their line, they average like 8 points. I'm like, how good could he be?
I would not say he's going to be great, but I think he's what they need. Like, yeah. I talked to him the other night, right
after he committed. On the defensive end or both?
That's all he wants to do. Like, yeah. I asked him, I go, what's your goal for next year? He goes, I want to be the guy on defense. I want to rebound. I want to block shots.
Yeah.
And he goes, his exact quote was, and if they need an occasional bucket from me, great. Like, he's not – they don't need
– he's not going to be not everybody's, worse than Jamil
not everybody's,
on the offensive end.
Not everybody's going to be an All-American.
Know your role.
Yes.
Know your role. It's so, I mean, it's really important.
And Jamil, for a long time, didn't know his role.
No, he
didn't. That was the problem.
And here's the thing. When you have – I guarantee you he did not play with guards at Louisiana Tech as good as he'll play with at Iowa State.
No.
He's going to get a lot more opportunities to score and be more efficient just because he's playing with Monte
just
Morris.
Think of all the garbage points we've seen, like Edgem collect.
Just play hard.
Like yeah.
You play hard.
Play your ass off, and you're going to score 8 points.
Are we going to see, by the way – so we've still got holdovers from Fred's era, good holdovers with Naz and Monte and Matt. Is this year we're going to start to see some of what Prome is wanting to do or not yet?
Yeah, I think this is going to be – now, granted, a lot of his star players are still Fred guys.
Yeah.
No question. Last year was weird, though, and I think Adam will agree with this, because Niang's such an odd player. Like, Prome had never coached a guy like that before.
I would say unique. Odd
okay, odd,
bad.
Unique, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, just, yeah.
We mean the same thing.
Okay, yeah.
Like, this will be much more of, like, what – Steve Prome basketball is going to be like at Iowa State. Still don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Last year he kind of just had to do. You, Niang's an All-American. You've got to play to his strengths. And,
yeah.
And I think that was a little weird at first for Iowa State. And that's why I think they were playing their best basketball at the end of the year.
They're going to have to recruit their asses off this year. They have 6 open scholarships for the next year.
And they're going to take a transfer now that there's one open right
Not
now.
Not a grad transfer, but just
they're
a transfer.
They're going to take a transfer to have a reinforcement for next year, which they need. Listen, enjoy this year.
Wayne Morgan's a-coming.
Speaking of Wayne Morgan.
Enjoy this year. Unless they go off and, like, really make some hay on the recruiting trail.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be struggling in 2 years.
Great.
Hear me out on this comparison. Tell me if I'm crazy.
It's not – and by the way, I don't want to interrupt.
No, you did,
but
it's all right.
But I want to finish that point, and it's not really Steve's fault. It's just the way the roster lays out. They're just going to lose a bunch of guys. They're going to have to rebuild.
It doesn't have to be anybody's fault. People say, well, do you blame Steve? Do you blame Fred? It's nobody's. It's just sometimes it's the way things work out.
Sometimes you have to rebuild.
Yeah.
Nobody's dominant all the time. Even the Dukes of the world have had off years. North Carolina has had off
years. Kentucky didn't make the tournament 3 years ago.
Yeah. Yes.
People forget that, but it happens.
So I look at this year's team. Now, I think Steve's obviously a much better coach, but I look at it a lot like Wayne Morgan's last year, where it was guard dominated. Mm-hmm. You had Blaylock, you had Stenson.
Sean Taggart.
So holding our Sean Taggart. Hopefully he doesn't get sick and lose 15, 20 pounds before
the
season
starts.
He's
a lot more mature than Sean Taggart.
But, I mean, you look at it, and it's you just lost Jared Holman. You lost a little bit of that, you know, that toughness down low. And I don't know who was tougher, Iowa State.
I actually think this Iowa State team will be tougher.
Tougher.
Like nasty.
Mentally tougher.
Just like nastier.
Huh.
I think Bowie and
they could use a little bit of that.
Will bring. I mean, think of all the grad transfers they've had at Iowa State over the years. Those are generally the dudes you don't want to mess with.
Yeah.
Going back to Jake Anderson. Think about it. DeAndre Kane. Jake. These are grown men who know that's their last shot. They want to make a point. They want to be able to play at the next level.
Corey Lucius, Will Clyburn.
They weren't grad transfers. They were transfers.
But they had 1 year players, yeah.
But they weren't grad transfers.
Okay.
I'm talking about fifth year guys coming in last chance. Yeah. I like desperation, man.
Yeah.
I like a guy whose back's against the wall, and that's how these guys are.
Okay.
I think, like, Niang's a tough son of a bitch. Like, I'm not going to take that, but he doesn't, like, impose it on the court. He's more of a finesse type player. That's just how he is. Like, you're going to see less of that from this year's team.
Okay.
I think this year's team will be more likely to get into a fist fight than last year's team.
Which, of course, that's what you need on a basketball court.
You do. Any team that's ever won, they've gotten at least 2 to 3 fist fights in a given year.
You idiots know what I mean.
We want the Pistons out there.
Having said that, I don't know if this team will be better. Like, I would obviously rather have number 31 out there.
Yeah.
I can see this team going to the Sweet 16.
Get the right draw. And the Big 12 is not going to be very good next year. The Big 12 is way down.
They're losing some players.
Jesus, way
they're
down.
They're losing some players.
They should easily be third in the league, fourth in the league.
No, I don't disagree. Especially since we get to go beat up on Central Florida next
year. You got
year.
Kansas.
Whoever. Yeah.
I mean, I understand.
We'll be in the Big 12.
We just lost George Niang, guys.
I get it.
I think people need to just slow their rolls just a little bit on that.
Well, I mean, I'm not talking
about
a national.
Yeah, but we get back Naz. So hopefully,
And we lost Nader.
We lost some good players. I mean,
and we lost McKay.
Well, offensively,
I take Merrill Holden over McKay.
You don't know that. You've never even seen him play a game.
No, I've seen enough of McKay, though.
Oh, my God. Other than a few games on the offensive end, McKay stunk. All right.
McKay was so much – there was so much drama around that last year. Time spent on that when they could have been practicing
I understand. I completely agree. And being a good teammate is very important.
Yes.
But we've never seen the guy play ever, not one game.
I would be surprised if his stats were as good. Nick, I'm not building this guy, but I think he's exactly what they need.
I'm high on him, too.
He's a jackass. That's what I like about him.
I say let's watch the guy play.
I would take him sight unseen over Jameel McKay last year.
Were you surprised at all? I wasn't. What's his name that just transferred? Cook. Was that surprising?
No.
At all?
No.
I mean, the guy didn't play a lot, but partially because I always thought his downfall was that UNI game last year where he chucked up some horrible air balls.
Well, if you look at it, playing time wasn't going to get any better for him.
Yeah.
I mean, Naz is coming back. Matt's there. Donovan Jackson. Bab probably would be playing over him.
Jacoby Long probably would be, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, no, it doesn't surprise me.
It's weird, though, when you hear about these guys. This guy's the best shooter on the team. You know, he's going to be great, and then nothing. That's frustrating when you hear that stuff.
You look how I don't want to take Gray down this road.
Come on.
Plug your ears, Gray.
Come on. Let's do it. Let's go.
No, I'm not doing it.
Come on. Let's make
a good problem
show.
Is certain times, this is where coaches don't do. For instance, I'll say one time Fred Hoiberg slipped up. He was in a summer teleconference, and he said something about Tavon Sledge, like, pushing to be, like, in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
Well, like, what Fred's doing when he's asked that question,
yeah,
Fred's just talking about his guys. Like, he, in his mind, like, I'm just building my guys up. I'm talking about my team. I'm being positive. It's the middle of June. Why not?
Yep.
He didn't understand the media at that point.
He doesn't understand that the hundreds of people on Twitter are going to post that.
Yeah.
And then you got dudes on Cyclone Fanatic who are going to build up these unrealistic expectations of Tavon Sledge.
He finished his career in Division II basketball.
And I think the Halas Cook thing, probably there was some of that.
Same. Where did the best shooter on the team stuff come from? That was manufactured. That was never true.
Whoever said that?
It's one of those things you just heard.
Because who would ever say that he's a better shooter than Naz or Matt Thomas?
I don't know. I'm just saying. You're talking about things Twitterverse.
He shot 45% as a freshman at Oregon State. So statistically, it looked like he would be one of our better shooters.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So that's probably
But then he had the hip
from.
Deal. Like, yeah. Don't forget about that.
No, I
know. Let's be fair to the young man. He had a major hip surgery.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there always is certain narratives, and it's happened for as long as I followed Iowa State, and fans latch onto it. Just like we did this last year, Steve Prohm was a defensive coach. Well, he's never been a defensive coach, ever.
Never.
But all of a sudden, everyone thought, I thought he was supposed to be this defensive coach, and we're focused on defense. Just because you say, hey, we're going to focus on defense here, doesn't mean all of a sudden it changes who you
are.
Well,
that meant in hindsight was Fred focused not an ounce on defense, and we're going to do a little bit more than that. So
pretty much.
I'm a defensive
and that,
coach.
And that was true, too, and the Hoiberg staff would be like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because Fred, and this is the one concern I have going forward, and I wish Steve was here to like talk us through this because he would be very open about it. We'll have to do this on a podcast sometime. He would be open to doing this. Like, Fred looked at it as we're going to be elite on offense, kind of the Mike Leach deal.
Yep.
And then, hey, whatever we can scrounge up defensively, great.
Yeah.
And it got to the point they really weren't that bad defensively at the end of Fred's last year.
They were in the 70s. Remember 360 teams?
Yeah, the Big 12 championship game when they held Kansas to like 5 field goals in the second half.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they weren't that bad.
Well,
they
also had Jameel McKay playing really good defense at that point, too.
Jameel knew his role then.
Yeah, yeah.
He knew it. When Jameel knew his role, he was damn good. When he didn't, he was a total disaster.
Yep.
Anyways, wherever I was going with it, like Fred's defense, I think was probably underrated. Where, the Prohm thing, like you said, was completely blown out of proportion. I don't know where it came from. He's never been a defensive guy. I think it was probably because of that.
You media members. That's all you guys do.
His first press conference, he said, we need to get better defensively. And that's the only thing you can say. Like, you can't say, oh, we're going to be better on offense.
Yeah.
That guy just left for the Chicago Bulls, and he's. laid down a top five offense the last 3 years. It's kind of hard to do.
It reminds me going way back when Tim Floyd used to always say, I've tried to recruit over J.C. Holloway, but no one will ever has been able to beat this guy out, and fans eat this up. Man, J.C. Holloway's this great point guard. Tim Floyd. J.C. Holloway's terrible, guys. People need to pay attention. He was awful.
You just hurt his feelings.
Other teams would let him shoot.
Speaking of point guards, I'm excited that this Jakobi Long, I think he could be good.
He's is it okay for me to say he's got the body to play as a freshman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I would put him over Halas Cook. Because at least he's going to – like, this is my one concern with the guys coming in. None of them are, like, elite offensive guys. I would call Donovan Jackson one, but he's a two-year guy.
Yeah.
Like, all the freshmen coming in are kind of like the Melvin Edgem type where it's like they're you know, they're really tough and they're pretty athletic and they work really hard, but they don't necessarily have a ton of ball skills. Whereas Fred was bringing in guys who he's like, I know we can score with these guys.
Yeah.
So it's like, are we about to take this drop off in offense after next year? And is their defense and is that going to be able to make up?
We're going to have a drop off in offense this year without George.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's going to
happen. Our efficiency especially.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
George was one of the most efficient players in the last four
years. Part of
that
comes down to shooting percentage, though. I mean, if Monte ups his offensive game, which he's capable of, he's had some good offensive games.
Yeah.
That helps. And then in theory, and obviously everything has to go well, we could have the top two shooters by percentage for three-point field goals in the Big 12 next year. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big if with Naz, who didn't play this last year.
I would agree, Mark. That's a big if with Naz because I just don't, again, the expectations.
But those guys are going to chuck threes. I mean, they're going to have multiple threes a game.
Dude, Donovan Jackson, I think that bold prediction on May 12th.
You're hyping Jackson like no other.
He will have a better three-point percentage than Naz Long.
Really? Wow. Well, that's just good for Iowa State.
I think he's going to see looks. If you look at, like, he's a newcomer and the guys around him, like, I think he's going to have some really good
looks. I mean, I think Naz shoots at least 33%.
Yeah.
I think he's a guy that can go off the dribble and get jump shots. Where
he's a chucker, man.
You don't see Naz taking guys off the dribble, pulling up from three very often. That's
and he's got a quicker release than Matt Thomas does, too.
Well, yeah.
Are you sourced in on Naz right now? Is he doing well?
Yeah.
Health-wise?
Doing well.
Okay.
I got a question.
I think that Donovan Jackson is a
first-team All-American. Chris Williams said it. Put it down.
No, but like I just know what the plan was with him before Naz and Monte were coming back, and it was like he's our Kenny Cherry. Like, just bring him in and let him – Mike Taylor-ish.
I like the Baylor reference.
I think
there.
I heard that they were expecting him almost to lead the team in scoring.
Yes.
I thought Monte.
I've been told that by multiple sources that they thought he would. And that was including Emmanuel Malou.
Yeah.
Like, they thought he would be their top scorer next year.
Yeah.
So
here's my question for you. Next year, we got three freshmen coming in. We got Lard, right? Mm-hmm. Young and Jakobi Long.
Yeah. Solomon Young. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Which one plays the most minutes next year? That's a question for you. Put you on the spot.
Well, it'd about have to be one of the posts, right?
I'm thinking Young.
Yeah, that's where I would lean.
But once again, Lard, you don't know. He didn't play basketball this last year at all, did he? If I remember correctly, he didn't play high school basketball.
Ideally, you could redshirt that kid, but they probably won't.
That's a horrible last name.
Lard?
Yeah.
And he's skinny, too.
I don't know, Adam. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but that's a good question.
Jakobi Long might be the most ready to play, but he's in a position of not – there's correct. Not a whole lot of need.
Jakobi Long could play as a freshman.
Yeah. But once again, position-wise, it's just, you know.
Yeah.
Anybody that's ever seen Stand By Me is going to call him Lard ass. Great movie, by the way.
It is a good movie.
That's actually – guys, I feel like that's a really nice basketball discussion we just had.
Wow, we haven't had one of those in a long
time.
That
was – I mean, I've
– nothing like a good basketball discussion in May.
Kind of gave me an erection.
Oh, Jesus.
Come on.
Unbelievable.
I can't wait till the girls are on next week or whatever talking about their body parts and what all this talk's doing to them.
My nipples are erect.
That's what they're going to say. That's what they're going to say.
Moist.
So, yeah, we're going to have to figure out if we're actually going to do this next week or not. So,
I think it'd be fantastic.
We got to talk to the
– put a poll up. Put a poll up on Twitter. Should we have an all-female – podcast.
Would you enjoy one?
You would make it really awkward to bring Stansberry and put him in the middle.
Oh.
And they can, like, give him dating advice.
This guy's so cute.
His face would be so red.
I just want to pinch his cheeks.
He doesn't need dating advice. He's got a girl now. Very nice girl.
Yeah, nice gal.
Way too nice for him.
Yeah. Well, she could do a lot better than that guy.
Yeah. There's no question about that.
You got a girl now. When she gets a little older, Mark and I were singing this song earlier, the Sophia the First on Disney.
Sophia,
have you ever seen it?
Sophia the First.
Finding out being royals all about.
Sophia the First.
I can't get this freaking song out of my head.
It's about like, a normal girl that became a princess overnight.
I woke up at like 2 a.m. to take a leak, and I'm singing the Sophia the First song. It was horrible.
My daughter will be singing the Monday Night Football.
It's a bad show, too. This is my theory on Sophia the First, Mark.
Yeah.
And girl dads listening will understand this. The whole theory, the whole thesis of the show is that she's this like poor girl from a village, and she goes to bed one night and wakes up the next morning and is this princess.
Which sounds pretty awesome.
Which, like, to me, it's like, oh, so you're saying that, like, just, you know, the good blue-collar girl from Southwest Iowa is not enough. You got to wake up and be a rich princess to have a good life. I think that's...
Listen. Listen to this.
Well, this is terrible radio.
This is super catchy. Wait till the chorus, though.
It's like Frozen.
It is a little bit like Frozen. All right, here she goes.
Sing it, Sophia.
She's finding out what being royal is all about. Don't you love it?
It's actually a little catchy. I'll give you that.
All right.
Disney Junior, okay.
I can't wait till Jay Burt comments on that one.
See, yeah.
You guys ruined the podcast for me.
You guys are terrible. But I'll be the first one to download next week, though.
We love you, Jay Burt.
What you guys are doing to Jay Burt right now is what Tim Floyd did to the media person, all right?
The difference is no one knows who that is. You know?
He lives here in Ankeny.
But you guys have all the names memorized. Like, you know who's on. Like, you'll come into me and like say, oh, by the way, don't you know who that is? Like, someone on the forum. Like, no. I don't know who anyone is by their screen name. No. No clue.
The problem I've got with this Sophia is I've been trying to guard Cameron from it because I don't like the basis of the show. Like, Cameron needs to be just thankful for what she has, and she doesn't need to.
She needs to work hard in life.
You don't need to be a princess to have a great life. Okay. And like she has.
What would be so bad if your daughter felt like a princess? If you treated her like a princess.
Oh, I do treat her like a princess.
Then just chill.
She doesn't have to wear a crown and walk around and people bow to her all
your
the time.
Your daughter is 15 months old.
Hey, you got to set the tone early.
Jeez. That's a big thing, by the way. Now, I have a lot of clients with young daughters, and I'll go over to like meet them and to sell their house or whatever, and I see little princesses walking around.
Yeah, they all think they're princesses.
I mean, no, they're literally dressed up
as
princesses.
Why can't you just be a normal kid?
Yeah.
Anyways.
So when you were a football player, you were never going to be a football player. Your dad should have said, Chris, you have no athletic ability.
Yes.
Take off your football uniform.
He should have set the tone early. And he
put on
said,
a belt.
No, he should have said, get to the typewriter, son. Start practice on your writing.
Go to work in the coal mine.
Absolutely.
You're like James Harrison taking away the trophies.
My whole deal is I was trying to like shelter Cameron from this whole like, oh, I need to be a princess thing. And she was really into the Lion Guard. It's like the Lion King sequel in Mickey. And I'm totally fine with that. But
she's never going to be a mouse.
She's freaking obsessed with this princess show.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Speaking of young kids,
when that song comes on, she's just like.
No, it's a good theme song.
She a dolphin?
I'm right in the middle of the parent nightmare of having to watch sports that aren't fun to watch at all.
God.
My son Seton is 5. He's playing T-ball. And here's the thing as a parent. Like, if you're a competitive parent, and I am a competitive parent, I'm hoping that
he's just that guy.
I know. I'm not saying anything, but
Seton will not play a Division I sports. I guarantee you.
But the problem
is he's not getting the scholarship.
But the problem is that he like when I
his dad ran a 4.240. Just chillax.
Yeah, that's true. 4.4. But I throw to Seton at home. Like, I pitch to him, and he hits, and he does well.
He does.
And then he has to go to his league and use a tee. And as a parent, that's just frustrating. It's like, you want to be like, hey, coach, can you get the tee out of there and just throw it to him?
Jesus.
But you don't do that.
Watch what my kid's got.
You know. And by the way, Chris.
Your kid has to have a chance at Division I because he's a lefty.
I agree.
He's a lefty.
He's a left-handed power hitter at 5. He's good to go.
Playing baseball in Iowa doesn't count.
I'm telling Gray, if I can get my son throwing 90 miles an hour, guaranteed D1 scholarship
as a lefty. Probably.
Absolutely.
There's nothing that drives me nuts.
We're doing
more
arm flexibility
than, like,
things every night.
Really competitive dads.
Getting them ready.
Because I've coached Little League and then doing what I've done for the last like 10 years, and I just see like the amount of these kids that are actually going to make it. Let them have fun.
It is
Can I go on a tangent?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go
so
for it.
Jake had a game the other night. And for the most part,
coach, right?
Not this year. I've coached every year besides this year. Drives me absolutely crazy watching kids go up to the batter's box, and my son does it, and I talk with him afterwards. walk up to the batter's box. Drives me crazy. When they go out to the field, it used to always be the thing. Coming off the field,
hustle.
you spread it off the field. When you get out and you're going back on the field, get your glove, have your glove ready, get back on the field. These games take so damn long, and they take long because the kids are walking everywhere. It drives me crazy. I don't strike out, get a hit, make an error. I don't care. You're 9 years
you
old.
Hustle,
it's going to happen.
Hard.
Play hard.
I agree.
That's all I ask.
Do the
little things well.
I can't wait until Cammy's old enough, and I'm going to coach, and all the other parents will probably hate me because I'm going to be the guy like, hey, it's ice cream time. Like, I agree with you on, like, hustle, play your
like
ass off, and have fun. But, like,
you can hustle and have fun at the same time.
Absolutely.
It's possible.
I just, like, I get so annoyed with, and I see it all the time, like, these parents that are making their, like, I don't want to get into specifics, but there was a little kid and who we know, and this was, like, August last year, and I'm like, hey, what are you doing today? You going to go to the pool? And the kid tells me, like, no, I haven't got to go all year because I've been – I mean, this kid is in like sixth grade, and all this
playing
kid had
all
done.
The time.
It just, yeah, like clearly not even enjoying it. Like it just drives me nuts.
Well, I have a buddy that said just the other day because he has kids. He has an 8-year-old, and there's another kid in Ankeny that's 8 that's on his team, and that kid is already on a travel team and stuff. And at 8, they're still kind of figuring it out. But he was saying this kid can hit bombs basically like all the way to the fence when no one else is getting it out of the infield that type of thing. So clearly if you have a kid that's that talented,
I agree,
then you should try to do something
as long as the kid is having fun. Do it for the kid, not for yourself.
That's
I guess where it ends.
But at that young age, they should be so clearly ahead of the rest of kids to know that this kid has something special.
And there's always late bloomers, but most of the time I think it's pretty obvious. I mean, you can kind of tell, like, okay, that guy.
Well, and then you can look at his dad, too. And some kids that dominated when I was a kid, they stopped growing when they're in 7th and 8th grade.
Yeah.
They killed.
I was my height that I am right now in 7th grade. And then everybody caught up, and I became a hack.
But, I mean, so you can look at it and say, man, that kid's killing right now, and his dad's 6'4", 220. Okay, that kid's going to be good. Or you look at it and say, he's probably going to be like 5'9". Like, he probably can slow down.
In 7th grade, I was like 120 pounds.
You guys know Harlan? Over in Western Iowa, they win the state title in football every year.
Yeah,
they like what they will specifically do when they hire teachers. Like they'll look at mom and dad's like sports history. Like they legitimately do that. Like there's a reason why
they're just breeding winners.
Yeah. Like so, what you're saying, there's absolutely truth to. You look at my daughter. With the genes that she has with me and Ashley, she's screwed. Like, hit the books, Cameron. Don't even worry about it. Like, you know, start studying. That's how you're going to make your living. You ain't playing Division I athletics, all right? The sooner you realize that, the better it's going to be for you.
Apparently, Seton's smart, so I don't need to worry about that.
He is a smart kid, Mark. You can tell just by talking to him.
Dude, it was funny the other day. I posted on Facebook. You guys probably saw it, but obviously people are listening.
Yeah, I did. I saw this.
He had an assessment at school. Preschool, and apparently they go out in the hall one at a time and meet with the teacher, and then the teacher like goes through letters and numbers and whatever. I wasn't there, but so I hope he's telling me the truth. But apparently he came home and said I was the only kid that could in my class that could count to over 100. And so we were talking about that, and then I said, well, why do you think you can do that, buddy? And he said, God made me smart. that's his answer. God made me smart.
Nice and humble young man.
Never mind. Keep talking.
Yeah, no, anyway, but no, he's a numbers geek. He loves scores. He gets mad that in his T-ball, they're not keeping score.
Yeah.
He wants to know what the score is.
Yep.
I said, well, there's 9 guys on that team and 8 on your team, and all of them score every single inning. So no one ever gets out. So there's your score.
You're going to lose every game.
Basically, there's no chance that you can win this game. So, yeah. So, yeah, he's got the brains. We just got to get the arm for the major league contract.
Yeah. Well, good luck. I hope he does. And then I could say that I knew Seton when he was nice and young.
So, 15 years. No, like, what would it be?
You're probably the 13 one
year, 13 years from now when that D1 scholarship arrives, we're going to tweet it at Williams.
Well, will baseball even be an NCAA sport?
I don't know.
At that point?
I really don't know.
Jeez.
I was looking up the contracts, though, for the Chicago Cubs the other day, and I do hope he gets a major league career because those guys make bank.
Yeah.
Dude.
Well, I hope all of our kids are rich.
Did you watch the Cubs game last night?
Unfortunately.
Top of the 9th inning, they brought in, I forget who the pitcher was. He threw one pitch, got one out, and he was out. And then Madden came and took him out. One pitch. I'm pretty sure the guy, I think, is making like $3 million. Yeah. What a great career to have. Come in, throw a couple pitches.
I'm telling you, man.
The best
way to do it is middle relief, man.
Oh.
You can have a long career, make a lot of money.
You don't have the pressure of a closer.
You know, it's, I don't know.
All right, we got to go.
We do. All right.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys.
Tune in next week. There might be some women here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Daddy like.
Oh, yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. Later.